We now open the floor for questions, and I'll hand over the secretary to organize the interventions.
To ensure that this meeting runs smoothly and to make sure that all those who want to participate are able to do so, I'd like to mention that you should limit your interventions to the subjects included in the meeting's agenda and not exceed the time required to ensure the exercise of your right of information following the regulations of the shareholders' meeting. I'd like to mention that according to applicable legislation, all the questions made will be answered verbally during the meeting or will be answered in writing in the 7 days pursuant the celebration of this meeting, and they will be provided to the notary public so the interventions of those shareholders that have requested can be included in the meetings. Six shareholders have requested to participate. I give the floor first of all to Ms. Susana Vera. Good morning. I just wanted to comment that in other shareholder meetings you normally talk about you talk a lot about the past and less about the commitments to the future, but I can see that in this case we keep on talking about plans and how these plans are being met. Maybe that's why I see that financial analysts still recommend to buy and keep their shares, and they even mentioned that we are such an example. And I believe that in an environment such as the one we're going through today, this is not an easy task, and that's why I would like to congratulate you and the board. You recently showed the strategic plan for the period 2024-2026, and I wanted to go a bit beyond so you can tell us which are your focus beyond the company and beyond the term included in the strategic plan. Thank you. I'll now give the floor to Mr. Francisco Castañales. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, members of the board. Dear shareholders, I'd like to start my intervention by congratulating the president and the board of directors for the financial and investment results and for the focus of the company. And as a shareholder concerned by the profitability of our shares, I can only express my satisfaction. And that's why I would like to start by thank you, Mr. Sanchez Galán, and all the directors. But besides the profitability of the company, Mr. President, I'm also interested in our territory, how it looks and how the actions and the management of the company impacts the territories in which it operates. I come from a territory that many of us believe is to be a hardworking land, Extremadura, where Iberdrola has many of its assets, around 2,000 hydroelectric megawatts, 3,000 PV, and a nuclear plant with almost also 2,000 megawatts, although that ownership is shared with other companies. But you're about to lose or could lose two wind farms that, two citizen organizations have fought against it. And now another wind farm in Usagrib with 550 megawatts that's been deemed illegal after a sentence by the courts in Extremadura. Another PV farm of over 550 megawatts in Cáceres has also been deemed legal by the court of Extremadura as well. 1,100 megawatts of the nuclear plant in Almaraz that will have an expire date. They will have to close in 2027 for reactor one and 2028 for reactor number two. So adding all up, and we've also got another 1,100 megawatts that I will mention at the end of my intervention that have been declared not to be compatible and so illegal because they are in the Monfragüe National Park and they have been declared incompatible. 3,100 megawatts lost that are being sued, and some others are in a path to be lost. Given the lack of empathy of a company that nobody believes it or feels as their own in Extremadura, despite all the investment made in the region, an attitude that has been kept since 1956, and that, with all due respect, I'd like to bring your attention to. 54% of the assets in Extremadura are being threatened for their future existence. And we should think about it, and the board of directors should probably reflect upon it. I believe that there are many things that are in the hands of the decisions of the government and the decisions of regional governments as well. But there are many other things that are in the hands of the management of the company. You are have power enough to have executives or managers or people close to the president that can take care of the territories in which they operate. Because unless you're nice, if indigenous peoples of the territories feel marginalized and in many cases expelled from the territories, you have an enemy. You're creating an enemy that will end up winning the battle, no matter how present you are, no matter how close you are to the governments. Civil society is important. In many cases, they are tired of politics. They are tired of politicians who win and lose the elections according to what citizens believe of them. Some civil society platforms are created to defend some rights in some territories. In my region, there are many such associations, and many are linked to energy policies. And Iberdrola is the main company operating in Extremadura. I don't want to. I'm not here to say anything bad about the management of the board of directors or the executive team. I'm here just to call your attention so you can feel closer and increase your sensibility towards the problems created in the territory, because in many cases, unless you are part of it, they're hard to understand. It is true that you can probably answer to me that you are not paid or the company does not pay you to be nice. I'm sure you could say that, but given that I won't have another turn, I'll provide my answer. But we're not paying you not to be nice and to be arrogant in those territories. Please make an effort to get on well with the territory and these people. And I will finish by talking about sustainability. Iberdrola has started a very tough fight against greenwashing, the greenwashing of all the companies who have their headquarters nearby. And I do completely share, I fully share that battle and that actions from the company. But at the same time, I would like to call your attention on ourselves and about Iberdrola. It is true that a huge effort's been made for to be more sustainable and for the energy transition and to be up there with the standards that our society is requiring, asking us for. But there are small details in the global context, or even in the general context of the company and the shareholders, that are beyond the watchful eye of our society and shareholders themselves, but not for those of us who live in the territory. Iberdrola has 1,100 megawatts. It's not the precise figure, that are impacting the Monfragüe National Park. The National Park Act does not allow these plants to be created. They gave a date to finish this, which was ended 4 years ago in December 2020. And not only have you gotten rid of it, and the company should have done so, it's also in the hands of the government to comply with the law. But at some point, you have carried out abusive activities that have turned the National Park in a true Westfield. I'd like to invite you, all the members of the board and all the shareholders, or those who represent the shareholders who want to come with me to the National Parks, for you to see if the heart of the most important natural space of Mediterranean forests can have what it has in it. More so if the law is against it very clearly, and the dates to solve the situation are over. So this cannot be solved with having politicians from different parties in the board of the companies. That's something I would like to talk about, but we'll leave this for other shareholders meetings, because I guess you're not going to give me the floor again. And you cannot hide it with huge amounts of money invested in the media, in advertisement or non-advertisement. I would also like to know how much Iberdrola is investing in the media and in advertising and non-advertisement campaigns globally. You can silence the media. You can, so to speak, and with all due respect, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but you can probably tame the government and public administrations, but people see it, people suffer it. And people are more and more outraged. That's why we have more and more civil society platforms that are able to close PV plants, wind farms, and with the tools of justice, and quite probably with the help of the European Union and the court in Extremadura. Thank you very much. Thank you. I will now give the floor to Juan Bautista Basáñez. Good morning, Mr. President. I have requested to speak, to ask a few questions. I believe that few shareholders are meeting here, the shareholders who are committed with the behavior of the company. And we are here to talk about the topics that are interesting to us about the future of the company. And that is why I believe that this is not the right forum to deal with individual concerns like the ones we just heard. And the company is offers other channels to be able to make this sort of claim like the ones we just heard. And this meeting is not a forum for people to use to be able to express and their personal views. But, well, excuse me, and I will now focus on my intervention. I would like to ask. I have seen that in the first quarter, the profits have been an all-time high figures, especially given the divestments made in Mexico. And I would like to know which is the forecast for the profits made by these divestments, and if you believe these profits well, can be used to generate more value for the shareholder. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll give the floor to Mr. Gorka López del Corral.
Elako delegatua eta Transportaldean dagozan lantide batzuen bozera mailea. Euskeraz asegure izan dut nire interbentzioa, Iberdrola...
Disculpe, la intervención entonces va a ser objeto de traducción sucesiva.
No, no, ese ya me han comentado, que hacías de pequeño a introducción y luego voy a repetir lo mismo en castellano.
Ah, vale, gracias.
Comienzo si no les importa, ¿vale? Un gusti hoy. Gorka naz, Iberdrolan, elako delegatua eta Transportaldean dagozan lantide batzuen bozera mailea. Euskeraz asegure izan dut nire interbentzioa, Iberdrolan, euskeraz ez duela inongo presentziari salatzeko. Decía que su...
I mentioned I'm Gorka, I'm a union, a part of the union here at Iberdrola, and I'm the spokesperson of some of the people who are protesting outside. I wanted to start my intervention in Basque to mention the lack of the use of Basque at Iberdrola, just like last year, the ELA union with the SIG union from Galicia asked the workers, who are also shareholders, to delegate their votes on me. And the response has been positive because we have doubled the amount of workers that have trusted this initiative. We wanted to transmit to the board of directors as well as the rest of the management team that the situation of workers in Iberdrola, Spain is worsening. We keep on loosening purchasing power given that our wage increase is way below consumer price index. After 2021, when the latest collective agreement came into force till the end of 2023, according to our information, our company's benefit has increased by over 23%. And remuneration to shareholders by 23%, and the remuneration to the board of directors by 17%. In the same period, and the workers have lost purchase power by 15.3%, and I'd like to repeat, we have lost 15.3% in purchasing power, and of course in 2024, unless this is solved, we will once again lose that purchasing power. Last year, after a similar intervention, the president mentioned a dialogue to solve the issue, but I am sorry to say that it has not been fruitful. The results of the climate survey has been worse than that of the previous year. And as you can see, there's the unions are protesting on the streets. So we'd like you to answer these two questions in this shareholder meeting. Do you think that the good financial forecast that you have mentioned can be supported by workers that are not feeling without risking these objectives? And after the failure of the dialogue formula that you mentioned, which are the systems to be able to solve these issues? Thank you very much. Thank you. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Íñigo Elorriaga. Good morning, dear President, members of the board, dear shareholders. I've been a shareholder of this company for several decades. And my case, like many other shareholders in Bilbao, is almost family tradition. I would like to ask a question and then share with you just a brief comment. The question is, and it's about our important investments in the United States and how they could be impacted by the results of the elections in November. And of course, I'm talking about the energy policy that could be implemented by any of the two candidates. And the comment, I would like to start by repeating something that another shareholder mentioned. The general shareholders meeting is the yearly opportunity for the board to express and be responsible and make accountable for their management, and for shareholders to talk about items of the agenda. This is not the forum to be or to mention aspects that are out of the agenda and that are an interest, legitimate or non-legitimate interest of these shareholders. There we have other fora, so they can channel their claims. Besides being a shareholder, I have worked in the company for 30 years. I started working in a company that was present, and I'm very present in the national territory. And now we're talking about a global giant that's present in several continents. The development has been huge, and especially profitable for the shareholders who have received an increasing dividend in the past 20 years. I believe that the price of the share was above 12.30 yesterday, and its price has grown in the past years. And we can see that pension funds and investment, and most relevant investment funds in the world that are with us, and have been with us for many years now. I'd like to mention that as a former employee, the improvement of the working conditions is also a desirable goal. But I don't think that that Iberdrola's framework or working framework is represented by the words expressed primarily because, well, the working condition and also the remuneration offered to workers throughout the world are much higher than market conditions. And they are adjourned by over 43,000 people, and good proof of it is that there are many, many people who want to start working with us here at Iberdrola. And very few people leave the company voluntarily. Thank you. And last, I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Nadine Breda. Good morning. I am also a long-term shareholder of this company, a company that we have seen grow in this land, and I feel proud of it. I'm very happy to see that this year you have once again showed your commitment with Bilbao and Euskadi, investing here and purchasing to best suppliers. Leading a company, a global company from here, and that is why, and that's why we shouldn't use these meetings to talk about individual concerns. We're here to assess and value the results of this company and its strategy. If the hundreds or thousands of shareholders were to come here with those topics, this would be impossible. That's why I would like to ask the president not to answer to things that were not part of the agenda. And now, and about my agenda and talking about the impact on this land, you just mentioned a very important investment plan for the next 3 years. And I'd like to understand what the impact of this plan is going to be for Euskadi, for the Basque Country. Thank you. And last, I will ask the questions we have received on the net. One of the shareholders asked about the growth of the grid. The representative of UGT and CCOO Union asked a question, and they wanted it to be included in the minutes, about the offer of dialogue made last year by the president, which are the measures that are going to be implemented to compensate for the purchasing power loss. Another shareholder asked about wind energy, and which is the focus, and another shareholder on long-term dividend, and wanted to thank you for the growth in that dividend. Those are all the questions, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much to everyone for your questions, not only for those that have taken part today, but also to all of those that over the years have sent in their opinions and have helped us improve the company. During the year, we have hundreds of face-to-face meetings with investment funds, pension funds, in the many roadshows we hold in the investor relations team, or the financial management team, or myself in various countries. In the last year, we've been not just in Spain, France, Germany, Italy, Belgium, Holland, UK, United States, Canada, Singapore, Qatar, Japan, China, Australia, and I think I've left some out. But not only through those face-to-face meetings, but also through the channels we have at the company. Many of the questions that have been asked during the year through the channels we have, the shareholders club or the shareholders telephone, they are all open, and there are thousands of interactions. Also through the telematic connections, when we present our results, or during the Investor Day, where thousands of people logged in, and also at meetings such as the ones we've held over the last few days here in Bilbao and Madrid, these shareholder day meetings where over 1,000 people have attended. And I think it was on Tuesday I had the opportunity of spending some time with some of them here in Bilbao at the tower, and we were able to answer their concerns and questions. I do have to say that through all these means during the year, as I said, we received thousands of suggestions that help us a great deal to define our strategy by knowing what the concerns and wishes of the shareholders are. In the end, we manage their money, their resources, and we want to do the best possible job so that you'll all be happy. We need to be an arbiter between all the various opinions to try to reach the best results. So I encourage you to continue to use them. We want the information to flow in all directions in a continuous way without having to wait for a general meeting. We want a continuous general meeting, a continuous relationship with the shareholders, because we constantly want to know what their concerns are and their ideas to handle things in the best possible way. And I'll answer now some of today's questions. The results during the first quarter reflect a result of over 2,700 million in net profit, the highest in our history in a quarter, not just because of the capital gains we've generated as a result of a partial divestment in Mexico, but also as a result of operating developments. The extraordinary revenue we're going to have from this business, we're going to continue to invest. The 6,000 million we've obtained from this sale are going to be used to fund the investments in this gigantic plan of 91,000 million up to 2026. Investments, the first destination, I'll repeat, is the United States with 35% of the total, followed by the UK with 24%, the Iberian Peninsula with 15%, Mexico and Brazil with 15%, and Australia and other European countries, Germany, France, Italy, etc. In the United States, and I'm answering one of the questions, we're going to invest particularly in electricity grids for transmission and distribution of the 13,000 million. We're going to dedicate around 2,000 million. And in renewables, basically, we're going to finish by the end of the year, as we saw on the video, the major American offshore wind farm, not just ours, but the first built by any company in this country. And we expect that by the end of the year, it will be completed. In other countries like the UK, we are going to continue along the same growth path, finishing some of the farms that we currently have under construction. But in general, for the group, with our major investments, 60% are going to be dedicated to electricity grids. I mentioned it earlier. This is going to represent increasing our grids, our regulated grid assets, with an assured remuneration. This is very important for you shareholders. We have 54,000 million that have a guaranteed return for the coming years. And also in offshore wind, the situation of the farms that we're working on, apart from the United States, we're building another one in the UK, East Anglia. We're finishing two more in Germany. And as I said earlier, once they are completed, it will be 17,000 million in assets in this sector, which also has guaranteed revenue since all the energy has been sold long term. Our support for offshore wind is going to continue. We have a team of over 1,000 professionals working in this field from 50 nationalities, with work centers in London, Boston, Glasgow, or Berlin. And all these people are the resources for our leadership in this field that assure success. I have to say, and this is related to another question, that this enormous investment volume is going to benefit BAS suppliers, without a doubt. The BAS country has a tremendously powerful industry in electricity grids. We've done all we can, and there were some pictures on the offshore windows. I see a wind here in the Bilbao Super Harbor and many others. So we're going to continue to do this. And in Bilbao, we also have the global smart grid innovation hub at Larraskitu, with over 60 companies that work with us. Over the last few days, we've seen in the media what the contribution we make to this Basque country. According to the PricewaterhouseCoopers report, it represents over 3.7% of the Basque GDP. And we can extend this report to other regions. So I can say that for Extremadura, we also have the figures. And I'm sure, Secretary, that we'll be able to share this. I don't have them right now, but we also have them. And I can assure you that we make this effort in each and every region we operate in. And what does this contribution mean? It means employment. It means purchasing. It means tax contribution. It means R&D. It means all these kinds of things that we contribute with in practically all regions. In the specific case of taxes, the Basque Tax Office, our contribution was 1,556 million, of which 700 was a direct contribution. Here in the Basque this country, we have around 30,000 indirect jobs and over 1,800 employees. And all this is what we've been doing. And without a doubt, our investments can only be made with the commitment and dedication of those 43,000 people that work at the company. And I have to say this very proudly. Every day, they show their commitment in Spain and outside Spain, a commitment to ethics, transparency, and good governance. The relationships we have systematically in all countries, and I think that this is something that we've exported everywhere, is based on mutual trust, dialogue. We are a benchmark in gender equality, continuous training, over 70 hours per employee per year in the group, and person development. I think that we can offer something that very few companies can offer, and that is growth inside and outside the countries we're in for people to be able to develop. And talking about Spain, Iberdrola, and I think some shareholders mentioned it, is one of the favorite companies to work in, according to the Merco Talento report, which puts us in the top positions. And the internal turnover of the 9,000 people that work for Iberdrola in Spain is less than 0.7%. This means that fewer than 70 people per year leave the company every year out of 9,000. And this shows that the satisfaction index of these people is reasonably high. Having said that, I insist and will always insist, I always have done, Gorka, you know that we've known each other for many years, and you know that's the way I do things. The value of dialogue, mutual trust, continuous training, and people development is going to continue to be the base for our relationship with the social agents in each country. So that will continue to be our aim, to have an objective dialogue. And to round up all the questions, the investments we're making, the geographic diversification, the financial solidity, and this human team is the base to continue to extend our base and continue to provide profits. I think that we should feel proud. I feel proud of this company being at historic capitalization highs. If somebody would have told me 24 years ago that we were going to be worth 80,000 million euros, I think that none of us here would have believed that. We're worth 80,000 million. We're worth more than all the Spanish energy companies together. We're the largest European company. We're worth three times more than the next Spanish energy company, or four times more. We are worth more than banks. And this has been thanks to the effort, the dedication, the vision, the strategy, and the support from you, the shareholders. Without the support of the shareholders, as I mentioned earlier, without the excellency of Salt Mohamed Al-Thani, who is here with us today, showing the support for what we're doing, it would be difficult for us to reach these goals. We have the goal of reaching 11,000 million in dividend payout in the next 3 years to reach 0.669 euros per share, 20% more than this year's record. And therefore, I think that these are all reasons for being satisfied. And I think that this is what the reports from the analysts and investment banks reflect when they talk about our company. So thank you very much. And I encourage you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to use the open channels to receive your ideas, your concerns, and everything that can help us to improve our management. Thank you very much.